Welcome, folks, to the Mike and Abe Show. We are in the United States of America, and Mike is in New York City, and that's the best place in the world to catch a taxi cab. Is that correct?
Yes, this is true. This is true. And like I said, de Blasio is the mayor, and Trump is the president. So if you believe in miracles, this is the time anything is possible. You get Trump as the president and de Blasio as the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something about de Blasio. The traffic, as cliche as it sounds, it's like for years everybody's like, oh, the traffic is horrible in New York, blah, blah, blah. No. These days, the traffic is a freaking disaster in New York. I had to rent a city bike to get around Manhattan, and I could hardly get through the seams in the traffic on a city bike. It is just an abject disaster, and we can thank our geniuses at City Hall and the Taxi Commission. Now, what does the Taxi Commission do? Does the Taxi Commission have any authority on their own to do stuff, or are they just like, you know, just a lapdog for City Hall?
You know, the Taxi Commission was formed in 1971, okay, mm-hmm. to regulate the taxi industry, okay, and
right.
You know, and at that time the taxi industry was the only legal taxis were yellow, okay, which is still the case, okay. The rest is add-ons. Okay, the for-hire industry, which started in the 1980s, right. Because they wanted to get all the gypsy cabs legalized for radio calls. And they took the radios out of
right.
the yellow cabs because the passengers were complaining that all these cabs were on radio calls and they couldn't hail them down on the street. So the city under Mayor Ed Koch decided to start the for-hire vehicle industry for radio calls, okay? Now nobody knows what the hell is going on, okay? It seems that everybody's doing the same things, okay? So-called radio cars, which now use apps, such as the taxi cabs, which now use apps, solicit people on the street saying that they're prearranged, okay, because they were supposed to be prearranged, you know? I mean...
Right.
Which is a ridiculous. It is so ridiculously inaccurate to say that somebody on the street is a prearranged. Okay, now this is the definition of what is on the street and what is a street hail. Okay, and what is a prearranged call. And the best definition I've heard, which I believe should be the truth, is that. The radio calls should come from taxis, well, not taxis, for-hire vehicles on a base, you know, that are positioned,
right.
You know, at bases around the city, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right? They shouldn't be out on the street trolling or cruising, I should say, you know, waiting for a ping on their iPhone, okay? Smartphone,
right.
Whatever they get it, okay, and that's what they do. They cruise the streets just like the yellows, and they're not being dispatched from a base, okay. So therein lies the big lie, okay. About
mm-hmm.
about well, you know, it's prearranged because they tap the app, okay. Well, no,
right.
No. I don't know who decided that that's what it would be, okay. All right, you know,
mm-hmm.
what lobbyists lobbied what politicians, you know, shaking hands with something in the middle between the two hands, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we don't know,
right.
We suspect, okay? And that's where we stand right now. And I'm looking at my favorite webcam right now, the Times Square webcam, and I'm seeing lots of yellow cabs still on the street, 4 years, 5 years after this invasion started, you know, where they said they're going to kill the taxi industry. I see the taxi industry alive and well. What about you, Mike? Do the medallions still have value?
You know, I'm going to say yes. All right. First, in a word, yes. What that value is, it's still well into middle six figures. And I had a conversation with some guy at the airport last night, okay? Now, I was with a bunch of cab drivers talking about the cab, and then I was talking, they were asking me about the medallion price. I said, well, look, if you hypothetically can send a cab out per week for $1,000 a week, including depreciation, including insurance, including blah, 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 in that $1,000 a week, it's probably about $500 or $600 per week of medallion value. Now, translated into per month, let's say that's $2,500 per month. And what that translates into a mortgage, I mean, I know somebody just did a refi on their house. They got every $200,000 is $900 per month. So let's say if you have the same money you're putting into a medallion payment of $2,500 a month, that should all things being equal, translate into something between $400,000 and $500,000 a month at least, just to pay off a medallion that you've bought versus renting it. So, I mean, like anything else, if you can pay off a piece of property for the same monthly note that you basically have been renting it for, and then you're okay, and a deposit on top of that. So theoretically, it's okay, but the banks are scared, and the money is dried up, and that's a fact. And I blame the city for that because they auctioned off the medallions years ago. They even had upset prices. And right now, the city of New York should do a couple of things. First of all, they should set a floor and say, look, we auction the medallions off for this. So at the very least, the city of New York will buy your medallion back for the last upset bid price that you had at auction. So what I'm saying is, basically, if the city came out and said, we're selling these medallions for X amount of dollars, okay, so they can even say, okay, for the very least, if you just want to get out for whatever reasons, I mean, the doctor says you have 6 months to live, the city of New York should be able to buy that medallion back from you for at least the last auction price that they had. So, I mean, these are something, and it used to be you could walk into, if you had 10% down, a pulse and a face, they would give you the loan for the 90% of the medallion price. But in a word, yes, the medallion is worth it. I mean, and I had some guy at the airport last night, he was cranking about how much... the medallion is, it's not worth anything. And then he got closer, and I smelled, I asked him a couple of cab questions, which he didn't know about, and then I smelled booze on his breath. So after a while, I was like, who the hell is this guy? And I think it was just some guy who just, like, floated by, and he was well-dressed, so I'm wondering if they have plants at the airport just to propagandize cab drivers. I asked him a couple of, like, you know, cabby questions and just, you know, what do you think about this, what do you think about that? Didn't have the answer. But he did have the answer that he thought the medallion was blah, blah, blah. So I wouldn't put it past these knuckleheads for anything. But, I mean, the bottom line is, if you're getting $1,000 a week plus to rent out a cab from a garage, in that $1,000 a week plus is a medallion price. So, I mean, that's what I'm looking at. What about you?
Well, you know, the medallion has to have value because, owners are still... receiving monthly payments, even though they're not as much as they were. So you know, if the medallion had no value, those monthly payments would be zero. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Correct.
So
yeah.
So if you're receiving half the money that you were receiving, 3-4 years ago when the medallions were selling for $1 million, then the medallion should be worth half that price. Okay.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, right. I'm looking at my Times Square webcam, and I'm seeing yellow cab after yellow cab after yellow cab on the street. Okay. The people want them. They're all making money. Okay. So, to say the medallion has no value is ridiculous. And I just want to say something, and perhaps this is happening to other people also. I have been getting inundated by some nut, okay, spamming me with emails from his cell phone. Okay, you know, trying to make me believe that the medallion is worthless. Okay, I finally have blocked his emails. Okay, because he's a total, and I'm wondering who is this person. I can't seem to track him down. You know, I could give out his phone number, but I won't. Okay, he's emailing me from T-Mobile. Okay, right. Mm. And, I'm wondering, is this the new tactic, TNC's, by by paying people to go, like you say, go to the airports and tell all the taxi drivers that the medallions is worthless, right?
Right. You're a smart guy. Yeah. You're a smart guy. Go ahead.
Right. Or send emails to NYC Taxi News telling me that the medallion is worthless. The medallion is worthless. Well, you're not going to get me, okay? But anybody else out there listening should be aware that there are planted enemies out there, okay? They're thinking that they're going to win this war by getting into our brains, all right? And then there was an article on cranes today written by a gentleman who shorts the stock of the lenders, right? And
what does that mean? I'm not a stock guy, so what does shorting mean?
Well, shorting is betting the stock is going to go down.
Right.
Okay, in other words, you buy the stock... You buy the stock, and then it's sort of complicated. I mean, you're actually borrowing stock at a certain price and then paying it back at the lesser price when it goes down. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So it's called shorting the stock. In other words, you buy it for a dollar, and when it reaches 50 cents, you pay back the stock. You don't buy it for a dollar. You borrow it. You borrow it for a dollar, okay? A dollar,
okay?
And then when the stock goes to 50 cents, you pay back the stock, you sell the stock, and pay it back at 50 cents. So therefore, you've made 100%, or if you bought it for a dollar and sold it back for 50 cents, you made 50 cents, okay?
So in essence, by shorting a stock, you're saying you make money by having the thing go down the drain.
Right. Right, it's a general practice, in the stock market, and there are some people that they look at a company or something like Medallion Financial is what they're shorting, or you can look at General Motors and say, well, they've made some big mistakes this year, their stock is bound to go down. Okay, I mean, I'm just using that as an example. I'm not sure General Motors is in that situation, but it could be any corporation. All right. If you feel that they've made mistakes, and the stock is going to go down, you short it by borrowing it. You borrow it from the brokers and then pay it back at the lesser price. Okay, when it goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's an article on cranes today, written by a gentleman named his name is Hickman, right? Okay,
right.
And he's been writing these articles and shorting the stock for years. Okay, and okay, and now he's talking about.
You got to watch that because I don't know if he is or
no.
He is.
He
not,
is. So he is.
In your opinion.
No, I know he is because there's other articles by him in other places. Okay, we're
in your opinion.
Yes.
In
no, it's
opinion.
Not in my opinion. It's fact. It's admitted. Okay. It's admitted.
Wow.
It's admitted that he shorted the stock. In fact, I'll read you his ID: James Hickman, a former research analyst at Credit Suisse, is the chief investment officer of HVM Capital, an investment fund that publishes activist research on the taxicab medallion industry and capital markets. He currently has a short position on Medallion Financial Corporation. That's from an article he wrote in 2015. Okay.
Oh boy!
All right. So
wow-wee.
Right. So this is all on cranes. Uh-huh. This is all on cranes. It's. I'm not making this up. Okay. So.
Mm-hmm.
So. So he writes this article. You've read the article by Matt Dowse a couple of weeks ago. I hope you read it. But Matt Dowse wrote an article saying that he believes that when the dust settles, the medallion will be worth $500,000. Okay.
Right.
And he's rebutting that article by Matt Dowse, saying that the medallion isn't worth $500,000; it's worthless. Okay.
It's worthless.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And
well, in my opinion,
yeah.
So is he.
So you, yeah. Okay. So what he's doing is he's still shorting the stock. We could assume that.
Right.
All right, you know, he's not trying to, he's trying to tell everybody get out of the business now if you're still in it. Okay, all right, right. And and that'll kill the stock. That'll kill the stock of Medallion Financial, right. Which has fallen. Okay, because of articles such as the ones he writes. Okay, and you know. It'll kill the stock. It'll kill the stock of Melrose. It'll kill the stock of all the lenders. Okay, and he'll walk away with a big, right. big chunk of money.
Well, conversely, if the medallion goes up and everything is straightened out, he's in the doghouse. He's got to come up with some money.
This is true.
I would think the other.
Yeah, right, right. It could go to.
So
right.
all of a sudden, if he's wrong, you know.
Yeah.
Which we can only hope and pray. Then he's in the doghouse, and they want to know where's my money, especially if he took this on an agreement. Well, like, if he didn't lay out cash for his position, if he just did, like, a marker or something like that, then all of a sudden it's like, okay, pal, well, you're wrong. Everything doubled in price. Well, you got to send in the money. Like, just in,
right, it works both ways. You know, it's like if you buy stock, you know, without shorting the stock, hoping that the stock will go up, and the stock goes down, then you lose money. And this is the opposite. You're buying stock hoping that the price will go down, and if the stock goes up, then you lose money.
Well, that's what happened on and something totally different. This guy's not involved with that, I hope, but just something totally different. They said on 9/11, they had all these huge amounts of money shorting American Airlines like 2 and 3 days before.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, well, how is this possible? And there you go. So now that's your stock lesson, folks, is that on 9/11, they had a lot of people shorting American Airlines stock. Like you said, you're basically betting that the stock would crash, no pun intended. And then, sure enough, 2 or 3 days later, it's a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
So it's all this weird stuff going on. But like you have some people making a lot of money and making life miserable for everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And if we could jump off of that, that's a great point, by the way. Where's this guy's article where it says, he admits he has a position, blah, blah, blah. Can you find that?
Yes, that's from 2015 on Cranes. If you Google the guy's name, which is James F. Hickman, if you Google his name, okay, and I'm going to do that right
Hickman.
Now.
Hickman.
Right, I'm going to do that right now. You know, why don't you turn on turn on your AOL and I'll send you a link, okay?
Okay. Well, after the show, we'll talk about this. It's extremely interesting.
Well, if you Google,
so Hickman, like the guy, like the,
if you Google James F. Hickman, the first thing that comes up is why I'm shorting a taxi medallion lender. An article written April 3rd, 2015, in Cranes. Okay.
Interesting. Okay. I will definitely read that.
And absolutely. And at the bottom of that article, it says James F. Hickman, a former research analyst at Credit Suisse. Is the chief investment officer of
Credit Suisse. Suisse, you're making me hungry.
Suisse. Okay, Suisse. Is the chief investment officer of HVM Capital, an investment fund that publishes activist research on the taxicab medallion industry and capital markets. He currently has a short position on Medallion Financial Corporation. And if you look at the comments, the first comment by a guy named the Millennial, right? Can somebody please get this guy off the internet? HVM Capital is a fraud company. You are a fraud. I highly doubt you've worked at Credit Suisse, and I'm sick. and I'm sick of you going after this company as it owes you something. Medallion Financial's taxi medallion portfolio only represents 30-35% of their business. Even if the value of all their medallions were to go to zero, they would still be trading at less than their book value. Please come to the table next time with some real evidence. Okay, you know,
I like it.
Okay,
send me that link. We'll follow up next show. Now the other thing goes along that same thing with all this mumbo jumbo. So Uber is in the doghouse now. They're famous or infamous guy, what's his name, Travis, resigned in disgrace, and they were taken over by some other geeks. And now I keep hearing a new thing on the horizon. The driverless cars. And I'm reading about what a genius. And I like Elon Musk. I think he's an innovator. But he's also an innovator with, apparently, according to this article in the Los Angeles Times, he's apparently an innovator with $4.9 billion in government subsidies. So basically, The cab drivers and the truck drivers and the taxi owners and all these people are paying their taxes and paying their tolls and doing everything the right way. And on the flip side, according to this article, an estimated $4.9 billion in government support goes straight to Elon Musk and his companies. And within that is driverless car technology. And I'm just going to say, it's interesting in that basically we're paying for Elon Musk to make billions of dollars researching driverless cars, which will put us out of business. So basically we're giving this guy rope to hang ourselves with, and nobody knows this. It's like, well, wait a second. He's like, no, we haven't really done this publicly and publicly and all this. Everybody's a big shot, and it turns out we're paying for it. So basically cab drivers and limo drivers are sending money to the government, who in turn is sending almost $5 billion to Elon Musk. Within that is government support of his far-flung enterprise. You know, now, I don't know how much of that is going to driverless cars and going to rockets or whatever else the hell this guy's doing, but it just it speaks volumes of everybody's a genius with our money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, let me say something. Okay, George H. Bush, the first George Bush to be president, Ronald Reagan is vice president, as he once said, read my lips. Driverless cars will never take over the taxi industry in New York City.
Right.
Okay?
Well, this is the thing, but the propaganda machine, they would make it seem, you read these articles on the internet, you would think that the driverless car, that tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, Monday morning, everybody's going to throw out their cars, and they're going to have a driverless car, and all the cabbies, and everybody's going to be... I mean, just the propaganda that's being belched by these troll bots, these bot companies, make it... And this is another thing. All of a sudden, Uber is talking about driverless cars. It's like, well, whoa. What about your little handheld app company that you thought was going to be so fantastic? Now you're going to get driverless cars. So basically, it reeks that they've screwed up what they're trying to do. Now they're trying to keep their investors happy by saying, oh, well, of course, everything's going to be driverless cars, which is what we're doing. No. Listen, you screwed up transportation, and in my opinion, you screwed up the traffic big time. I mean, I'm just looking at the streets of Manhattan. It's a disaster. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
And this, like I said, this all goes down to, and another thing, with de Blasio and Cuomo and the MTA, they keep having these trains derailing and breaking down. I've never seen anything like it, Abe, up here in the city, where the electric goes out, the train's breaking down, the train derails. This is a subway system where the tunnels have been dug, the tracks are in there, the platforms for the stations are in there, the steps, the stairs, the stations, everything's like 100 years old. It was built already. All you have to do is get a few people to maintain it. A little glue, a little paint, a little patch. Where is all this maintenance money going? And that's one thing I think where Cuomo panicked, and he flooded the street with Uber cars. Okay, he said like, "Oh my God, the trains are the New York trains and the subways and the Long Island Railroad." And Cuomo wanted to be such a big shot by running everything, a control freak, and now he's freaked himself into a corner where the trains and the railroad and the Metro North and the subways. And de Blasio politically has stepped away from it because Cuomo said, I want to do it. And now that it's breaking down, de Blasio's like, hey, you want to do it? Be my guest. There you go. And is that really lifting a finger to a degree to help straighten it out? Because Cuomo basically, you know, created the mess. Now it's his mess. Well, and I think what Cuomo did, that's where all this state TNC approval of Uber and all this stuff comes in, because he panicked. And needed just anything to get people around. Otherwise, they just throw them out of office on a rail.
Okay.
So I that is not the answer. Uber is not the answer. Go ahead.
No, Uber's not the answer. Vehicles aren't the answer. Okay, vehicles are on the street because there's not enough room for all those vehicles, you know, to transport all the people that ride the subways and the buses.
Right.
Okay? You know, far more people ride the subways and the buses than you could ever get into automobiles. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And the money, us with the money we pour into MTA. What about us? Where is our money going? Because we have 50 cents per trip from our passengers, so we're doing our part, and we pay tolls.
Well,
so the money and the gas tax, the money that each yellow cab historically has put into the MTA is unbelievable. I mean, you're 50 cents a trip, and then our toll money goes into the Mass Transit Association, and the tax money from the gas sales goes to somewhere. They get a piece of that. Where's all this money going? Abe, I want you to get on it.
I don't know, Mike. They're not going to tell me. All right, but I know it's
they should.
I know it's not going to the right place. All right, which
it's not.
Okay, and you know, the where it should go is to maintain the subway tracks. The subway system in New York City is fantastic when it works.
Exactly.
Okay, I mean,
and I'll tell you something. Yeah.
There's basically nowhere in there's basically nowhere in the city of New York you can't get to by subway, at least most of the trip. Okay, I mean, if you live in Whitestone or places like that, or what's that other town, Bayside. Okay, you have to the subway will only go as far as Main Street Flushing. Okay, and then the buses, there are hundreds of buses that take you the rest of the way. Okay, you know, in Brooklyn, the subway goes to Flatbush and Ostrand. Okay, and then there are buses that take you the rest of the way to Sheepshead Bay, and or if you go into Mill Basin, right, you go down Flatbush Avenue, turn left at Kings Plaza, right, you're in Mill Basin. Okay, and then there are subways that they go all the way up to in the Bronx to Van Cortlandt Park, right, and then there are buses that take you the rest of the way. Okay, so if these so the subways will reach out, and even in Staten Island they have a small subway system, I believe. Okay, where you know, where you could take the ferry to Staten Island, you know, and there is a lot of argument. You know, Staten Island at one time wanted to leave the city of New York because they weren't being serviced like the rest of the city of New York. Okay, and they actually voted to secede from the city. Okay, this is back in the Giuliani days. Okay, but Giuliani, knowing that he couldn't be reelected mayor without Staten Island, right?
Well, that's the,
right.
Staten Island.
You know, here's how it was explained to me. I remember saying if the people of Staten Island voted to do so, and it was explained to me by one of my passengers. Okay, and I don't know how accurate this is, but Staten Island seceded because the city of New York is a corporation, and you have to have permission from the whole corporation in order to secede, regardless that the people in Staten Island voted to do so.
All right, so basically, in order to secede, Staten Island would have to get thrown out versus leave.
I guess you could put it in those terms, okay? And I'm sure Giuliani had a lot to do with it because he couldn't be reelected mayor without Staten Island.
Yeah. Okay. That goes without saying. That's like the Italy huge Italian population over there, you know.
Yeah. So Mike, let's talk about the front page of NYC Taxi News. Okay.
Let's talk about the front page. Yeah.
Let me thank Ron and the MTBOT for helping support us. Okay, you know, if you look at the front page of the NYC Taxi News, you'll see that you can lease a yellow taxi cab from an MTBOT operator, and the question is why would you want to? And for several good reasons, and this is all for free. You would get defensive driving and wave training course instruction. You would get for free online TLC application and renewing process. For free, and this is the big point, there's something you'll never get for free anywhere else, and that is legal representation at Oath, Port Authority, Traffic and Criminal Court, along with the TLC. If you need it, if you need legal representation, it's there for you. Okay, and if you need help with anything, experienced MTBOT staff members will work directly with you as a driver.
Right, and for those of you who don't know, the acronym MTBOT, that stands for the Metropolitan Taxicab Board of Trade, and they have a lot of fleets and a lot of steady customers in their group of cabbies they have at those fleets. A lot of guys have driven for those MTBOT garages for many years. They stay at the same garage. Creatures of habit, these cabbies are. And they're doing the right thing. They're doing the right thing by us, that's for sure. They're putting gas in our tank to help bring this show to you. So thank you very much, MTBOT, for your online support. What else we got?
Well, what else you got? Well, I want to give the phone number out for the MTBOT. It's 718-784-4343. And ask for Kachin Das. Okay?
Okay.
Not sure how to pronounce his name. Okay, but if you look at the ad, you'll see the phone number, which is 718-784-4343. And Checker's your territory,
Checker.
Mike.
That's my alma mater. I've been off for a couple of weeks, but when I drive over there at Checker from time to time. So their phone number is 718-361-6300. That's 718-361-6300. They also have a great website called goyellow.nyc, and their slogan is, just make it happen. Buy your next shift at Checker. Again, Checker is conveniently located in Long Island City at 11-05 38th Avenue in Long Island City. They're right off of 21st Street, 11-05 38th Avenue in Long Island City. There's a gas station right around the corner where you can gas up, get your cab. They have great summer specials. So go to Checker. They're 718-361-6300. And what else we got? We got your accountant friend.
Oh, Tony Tax, Taxi CPA.
Tony Tax.
We'll keep track of all of your money all year long, and when tax time comes, he knows what to do to help you get your refunds or pay as little tax as you know, as you're entitled to do.
Legally allowed.
Legally allowed. Right. Exactly.
Right.
Okay. He's a great accountant. He will come to you. Okay. Just call him 718-413-6126. That's 718-413-6126. And you can check his website. All of these ads on NYC Taxi News have websites. And if you click on the ad, you'll go right to their website. Okay? And
I like it. And also, who do we got? We have WB Taxi, mm-hmm. also in Long Island City.
Mm-hmm.
They're at 35-11 43rd Avenue. Their phone number is 718-729-7777. And if you look at the WBTaxi.com website, you can check out their taxi specials, because they have lots of different taxi specials that they've tried to arrange for you to contour it to the driver needs. So, again, that's WBTaxi.com. They're located at 35-11 43rd Avenue in Long Island City, and their phone number is 718-729-7777. So if you want to drive a yellow cab, you can over check them out. And you got a guy in Brooklyn, your hometown.
Yeah, over in Bay Ridge, Bensonhurst, Bay Ridge, somewhere along that line between those two great towns. You have King mm-hmm. Brokerage at 6814 Fifth Avenue. He says, be your own boss. Purchase a new NV200 taxi and wave taxi and earn $35,000 in bonuses, and that's no joke. Okay?
Right.
Okay, it's not one
real
of them.
Money. Real money.
It's real money, and it's reality if you want to drive one of their wave taxis. And I understand a lot mm-hmm. of people have been going to the wave taxis, and you told me that the guys at Checker are doing that.
Oh, yes, yes. As a matter of fact, that is, in fact, the case where the wave... Now, here's the deal with this business. The wheelchair-accessible vehicle is something that's new. And at first, all the drivers are complaining and crying they weren't making money, it's a big headache, blah, blah, blah. Now a few of them are finally getting their 50 cents a trip, which the TLC approved. And they're getting fares from the wheelchair accessible community. And they're starting to make a little money with the program. So, of course, they say nothing. When everything is horrible, the cabbies set their hair on fire. But as soon as the money starts coming in and they start making some progress and making a few bucks out of the plan, you can hear a pin drop. So I just want to tell people that there is, in fact, some money coming in. They're getting checks. The median check I've heard is about $250, $350 a month on top of what they're making with the cab. So that's a good thing, and it's a well-overdue good thing.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to see a cool video, go to the right side of the page, and you'll see drive a New York City taxi, become a New York City cab driver with your TLC license, and click on the photo, and it'll take you to a really great video made by our friends at WB. Okay? And, excuse me, but if you're driving one of them TNC vehicles, and all of these guys are crying, if you go to the Uber board, you know, where the Uber drivers post, they're all whining and crying, how do we get out of Uber? How do we get out of Uber? Okay, well, it's simple.
This is how you get out of Uber. You use one of our advertisers.
You can get out and start making real money, okay, as the yellow taxis have been doing for the last 80 years. Okay?
Well, let me tell you something. The best thing about this business, Abe, is for the majority of my cab driving career, I always drove a cab on the weekend. Okay? Now, guys do it every day. I've done it a few years off and on every single day. What a grind of a job. Even when the money was there, it was a very tough job to do every single day. But I'll tell you, from my perspective, if you're in school or if you're part-time, if you have a regular job and you want to make a few bucks on the weekend, this is the best part-time job in the city, in my opinion. And I've done all these weird jobs, believe me. I've done construction. I've done working in a bar. I've done all kinds of jobs, like part-time. This yellow cab thing is the best part-time job you can have in the city. And you don't have to go out and put yourself in hock to buy a car like Uber, as I call them. I mean, these guys go out and buy these cars with Uber, and they're stuck. They're jammed up. They just have this car note on their back, and they can't try and get out of a Uber car. The only way I've heard is just to give the car back. And at least in the yellow cab, you can work part-time, and that's great. I mean, you can go into a fleet, get a car part-time, then goodbye. And you can you don't have to work every single day. You can work part time, so it's a really unique thing to do in New York. Go ahead.
Right, and let me just say that don't confuse Subaru with Subaru. Okay, I own a Subaru, and it's a great car. Okay, and they should they should have taxis that are made of Subarus, because I have a Subaru Outback, and it would make a great taxi. Okay, but that's not the case.
It would make it. You know, I rented one of them the other day, and it's amazing some of the crap the taxi commission has approved for cabs. That little Subaru, what is it, the Explorer?
No, the Outback.
The Outback. The Subaru Outback, first of all, it rides like a Cadillac. It's high off the ground, so you can step out of it, and you can go through puddles. If it's a rainstorm, it goes up mountains and puddles and everything else. It's extremely reasonable as far as what it costs. So, of course, this is the car the taxi commission doesn't approve for a yellow cab. Oh, you know, the other thing is, with this handicapped wheelchair stuff, where's the business? I mean, we are getting some business, but the taxi commission has done very little to promote this plan amongst the doctors and the patients. I'm just wondering why the taxi commission doesn't promote the plan that they've created. It's the craziest thing. They wanted us, apparently it was such an emergency. We have to do it right away. The wheelchair people can't get through, blah, blah, blah. So, okay, now we've put thousands of yellow cabs on the road that are wheelchair accessible. Where's the business? Where's the outcry?
You know, who's ever running the program where you call a 311 or whatever to get a wheelchair accessible taxi, okay? Or go out on the street. There's plenty of them out on the street now, I understand, right? But if you don't want to go out on the street and you want a wheelchair-accessible taxi, those are the people that are controlling that program, those are the people that should be contacting every medical office in the city of New York, okay, and letting them know about the wheelchair-accessible taxis, okay? And I can't do it and you can't do it. We can just talk about it here, okay?
Right.
And
but I mean, you would have thought it was the end. I mean, the one thing that used to make me really ticked off is I used to go to these TLC meetings, and there would be about at least two dozen, like 20 people in wheelchairs saying, "Taxis for all! Taxis for all!" with the signs and the whole thing. Like, we were racist anti-wheelchair people. And I used to get very upset, because it's like, I can't tell you how many times I and how many times you have helped people in wheelchairs in the rain, not because of some law, but because of our moral obligation to help people. Mm-hmm. And then you have this thing coming out of the blue, taxis for all. Okay, now you have taxis for all. Where's the business? Where is the business the taxi commission. Now that you've forced us by law to buy thousands of handicapped accessible cabs, where is the business? Where's the advertising to say it's available? Nobody knows. Where is the business?
The business is out there, but they have to be informed, and that's it. And who's doing it? It's not where is the business, it's who's doing the informing.
Is anybody doing the informing?
Well, not that I know about, okay? And
Unbelievable. We need
publicity, Mike. We need people to step up and publicize the fact that you could call a wheelchair accessible taxi. You know, that there are several ways to do it, okay? And, you know, maybe we should work on that, okay? And everybody out there listening to this, work on that, all right?
Let's work on it.
You know, yeah. we have this mandate to have half the fleet accessible, which means like 7,000 cars by 2020, which is not that far away, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay,
it's almost 2018. We're past the halfway point on 2017. Okay, we're in the seventh month. Okay, which is we're deep into the seventh month now. So you have August, September, October, November, and December. Five more months will be in 2018, and then you know just a short 2 years. You know, and time does go fast. Okay, we will have met that mandate of half of 13,000 is 6,500 wheelchair accessible taxis. We need publicity. We need people from all the medical field to know that there is a way to get an accessible taxi. Okay, and for the city and state of New York, and for the riders to save a lot of money by doing so. Okay, from what system there is now. Okay.
Yeah, I mean that's another thing I'm wondering about is that. They have this thing now where they want to say, we want the MHV community to make sure they respond to at least 25% of their calls. This is a taxi commission thing. We want at least 25% of their calls to be FHV or to be wheelchair accessible calls. It's like, listen, how do you know who is going to call? And how can you possibly mandate 25% of their calls to be wheelchair calls if you don't even know what calls are coming in? We don't even have 25% of our calls as yellow cabs wheelchair accessible vehicle calls.
You know something? I don't care if they don't have any wheelchair accessible calls on the FHVs. All I care about is that the yellow taxis, the ones that have been mandated, get all the calls for the wheelchair accessible, and let's see what we had to do. Let's see it pay off. Okay.
Right.
Why should we give them? Why should we give these people any of that business when we are actually entitled to all of it? Okay, you know.
Right. Well, that's the other thing.
You know. The problem is that the drivers aren't comfortable driving these cars. Okay, let's see what we can do to make the drivers comfortable. Not just money wise. Let's give them a comfortable wheelchair accessible car and stop with this taxi of tomorrow thing where you got to have this kind of wheelchair accessible car because it's part of the taxi of tomorrow. There's about 10 different cars that are available as wheelchair accessible cars, but they're restricting a good portion of this to the taxi of tomorrow, the ones that have to be retrofitted. Okay?
Yeah. I mean, they're like, you talk about unfair to the handicapped community. Why don't we have a choice of vehicles? I mean, let's put it this way. What about if you wanted to have a Rolls-Royce SUV to use as a cab, hypothetically, to pick up wheelchair-accessible vehicles? Would that be legal or illegal? It would be illegal, right?
Yeah, well, if you're in the you know, now there are no classifications between medallions. The city council has eliminated medallion classification, such as mini fleet, individual, and I would think that all the medallions have been declassified. Wheelchair accessible, one classification, another one would be alternative fuel. If they're all classified the same, then we should all be entitled to buy the same kind of cars, okay?
Right.
And And you know, this wheelchair thing, where the Taxi of Tomorrow was the only choice for a certain section of the industry, okay, you know, that was part of the Yasky Bloomberg plan, okay.
No,
and that they're the ones that signed this ridiculous contract with Nissan, you know, that all these taxis got to be, you know, their cars, you know. Let's see, let the city of New York, the Blasios and the, you know, all the people at the TLC, let's see if they could work on getting out of that contract, okay?
Right.
Okay, that's what I would like to see. That's what I would like to see, all right? I would like to see that you know, the drivers are made comfortable. Okay, you want to keep the drivers, let the drivers be comfortable in the car that they're driving and not force them to drive a car where they're uncomfortable.
Well, I'm just wondering, if once you get, I've had very good lawyers, top lawyers, tell me stuff like that, you got to get it out of the city. That's their exact words. They say, well, if you want to fight a case like that, you got to get it out of the city. Because apparently the local yokels have a wink and a wave thing going, in my opinion, with deals like this. And this can't possibly be a legal monopoly deal where you're forced to buy. It's like the Affordable Health Care Act. I mean, people are saying you're being forced to buy health care. I mean, why are we being forced to buy a car owned by one? Who owns this company? Who is the person who owns this company? I mean, why can't we have freedom of choice? I mean, this is America. It's not the Soviet Union, for God's sakes. So we have to look into that. You're right about bringing this up, Abe. So that's why why we're here.
And you know something? And, you know, I'm looking at the Uber board, the Uber People's Board. And there's a message here that I saw this morning. Hi, you all. I'm about to become a clueless yellow driver. Here's somebody that just wants to make money. He's sick and tired of making the tidbits that Uber is giving them. Okay? Yeah. And this board is full of Uber drivers that are unhappy, okay?
Right.
It says, I've done Uber. Now I will be trying out Yellow for a bit. I figure I'll start at the airports. Otherwise, I might be cruising hours without a fare. So he's a little bit unsure about what he's getting into. He isn't the Yellow taxi defector. He's just a new driver who started with Uber, and now he wants to see the other side of the fence. I have no idea how yellows work at the airports. I've seen their lot at JFK, but I have no idea what the system is. Where can I find info on how to do yellow? Like really basic info. Anyone want to volunteer telling me how JFK works directly would be appreciated. So there's a few people who made suggestions, but here's what somebody called Yellow 12543 suggested. The airports are only a small piece of the pie. If you drive slowly and keep your eyes open, you will see people who will need taxis all over the city. The major bulk of the business is in the crowded areas like Manhattan, along with the busy areas of Queens and Brooklyn. The passengers are hungry for yellow taxis now, and you will be hailed on the street. But you must be alert and not drive too fast. If you drive fast, you will miss the pickup. Yellow taxis also have apps such as Curb and Arrow. These apps will come in handy in slow times in remote areas. So good luck. You have made a wise decision. And that's what I have to say to all of these guys that are crying and whining about you know, how Uber has basically cut their pay from a big amount when they first started with their big promises to only a fraction of that. They have, and they were all whining and crying at the TLC meeting this week, right? Okay,
right.
If you, I don't know if you watched the meeting, but they were whining and crying about how they're not making any money. They're not making any money. And Mira Joshi, right, who I know she's not your favorite commissioner, and I know I'm not going to say anything bad about her, but she actually hinted at the one of these drivers that he should try another service in the TLC licensed area.
Right.
I wonder if she meant yellow. Okay.
Well, yeah.
Well, the
one thing she's done, she's polluted the air. I mean, under her watch, she's I know Taxi Dave had something in his newspaper. He said that the taxi carbon emissions, the carbon emissions in New York City have tripled under de Blasio. And that is largely in part because the taxi commission put 90,000 vehicles on the road, just burning up gasoline, and most of it burning up gasoline in the midtown Manhattan. But they've tripled the carbon dioxide emissions, and all this stuff about saving the planet and bike lanes and blah, blah, blah. I'll tell you what. Get rid of 50,000 Uber cars so we can breathe. How about that? How about that for radical thinking?
Yeah,
it's a mess. I don't know how this guy's getting reelected.
We've talked about this before. They want a solution to the traffic? They really do. Yeah. You know, would the Uber cars, if suddenly... you know, all the yellows are back on the street, which it seems to be going in that direction, okay? Are the Uber right. people going to complain, hey, you know, the problem isn't us, it's the yellow cars. Well, I got news for the Uber cars. We've been here for 80 years, right. you know? So, right. look, it's simple. Get those cars off the street. Get those Uber cars off the street. Get them into areas where they can be dispatched from a base. Okay.
Right.
Let them be dispatched from a base.
Well, Abe, with
prearranged calls, and let's see how many of them last.
Right. Now, you've been in the game a long time. This is the irony is not lost, because this business 80 years ago, the yellow cab business with medallions, was basically created for exactly the situation that exists right now, because right. they had all these cars driving around like maniacs in the 30s and in the roaring 20s. People getting killed, drivers literally cutting each other's throats for a fare, and they decided to put a cap on the number of yellow cabs in the city. And I see that happening again now, where the politicians don't do anything wrong until it's an emergency, or do anything until it's an emergency, and now it's an emergency. So explain to the people what the yellow cab cap is and what a medallion
well,
is.
Well, I was reading recently the history. Of course, I wasn't around 80 years ago. I may be around 80 years from now, but doubtful about that, too.
God willing.
Okay, yeah, right. All right. But it all started with the Depression, that when the stock market crashed in 1929. Okay, the people were out of work. They didn't know what to do to make a buck, and they started driving taxis, and many of them just clogged the streets of Manhattan. As they are now, I think it's even worse now. Okay,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the city council adopted something called the Hess Act, okay, which limited the number of taxi licenses to what are already out there. Okay, and there was 14,000 mm-hmm. or so licenses. And many of them dropped out immediately because they realized that they're never going to make any money with all these cars out there. And what remained was 11,787 licenses, which is what's known today as the medallion. Okay?
But originally 14,000 were approved and some of them fell off.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Okay? And they only added medallions, you know, many years later when they saw the need for these medallions, okay, which was going back to the late 1990s, I think, or early 2000s, okay. And it's now up to 13,000 and change. I don't know the exact number, okay. And that's reasonable. And you know, by law, only medallion taxis can pick up people off the streets of the city of New York, and everybody else that's complaining about that or saying that it's stupid is stupid. You know, they don't get it. They don't get why the laws were passed. Okay, so what do you have now? You have 100,000 FHVs running around fighting for the same fares, right?
Right.
And clogging up the streets because they have the $60,000 vehicles, you know, or they're tied into a leasing agreement with a rental service that they can't get out of. Okay.
And the other thing with these vehicles, on these new issued TLC vehicles from the Taxi Commission, With the medallion, the cabbie at least had some nest egg he was working or she was working towards paying off. So when you finish cab driving, you get some money to retire with. These Uber cars, it's a day wage sweatshop. I mean, you got people out there making $50 a day, $60 a day. They don't have any sweat equity. There's no equity in this Uber company. It's just you push your phone, you make a few bucks, and that's it. And the medallion, for a while there, you had cabbies, the American dream. They would buy a medallion, and it would go up in value, and they would send their kids to school. They would refinance against the medallion to buy a house. Now, under this regime with Chairperson Joshi, who I think is, I should call her Joke-she, and de Blasio, all that is gone. And it's all under their watch, and they are guilty, and they should resign immediately. That's my opinion.
Okay. You're entitled to your opinion. And
I think you've done a horrible job. You should resign.
I don't necessarily disagree with you. Okay?
Yeah. All right? I mean, it's time
for some new blood in City Hall and in the Taxi Commission to straighten out this mess.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
All right. So listen, Mike, you know, we're reaching the end of the line here. Okay?
Okay.
All right, running over time as always. And I just want to say thanks to everybody for listening to the Mike and Abe Show. Visit our sponsors. If you want to advertise on NYC Taxi News, send an email to nyctaxinews@aol.com. Okay?
Right.
You know, we'll make some room for you somewhere on the website. Okay?
And we will. And we'll find a way.
Yeah. And what else can I say, Mike?
We'll see you next week.
Yeah, okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Goodbye. Good luck. Drive safe. Bye-bye.
Bye.